I guess just identifying that I was an entrepreneur, that I fell into that bucket. I have to tell you, that is the biggest, strangest thing, is that for so long, I didn't see myself and paint that picture that I was an entrepreneur. Therefore, I didn't read books on entrepreneurship. I didn't read books on business 101. Had it clicked that I was successful, that I had that confidence in my 20s, that I could call myself one of them, I think I would have read a lot more and dove more into the trenches. And unfortunately, I lost quite a few years on knowing what to look for.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Baubert Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe. And remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. I am excited to have Rebecca Delaney Johnson on the show here today. Rebecca, how are you today?
I'm good. Thanks, Ben, for having me here.
I'm excited. I think that this episode is super important for people to listen to, because ultimately at the Cause Collaborative, you're helping what nonprofits ultimately tell their story and drive change, I imagine. But I want you to introduce it, because that's just my my piffy little thing I got from your website. Tell me what you do, you know, at the Cause Collaborative. Tell us about your mission and what you guys do.
Sure. The Cause Collaborative was founded as a social impact firm. Social impact firm means we do a lot. We help nonprofits tell their story. We work on resource alignment, making sure that they have the bandwidth they need. Really, we're all about keeping programs and services that are vital to our community here, and supporting nonprofits with arms, legs, and brains, additional bandwidth when they need it, and really stretching their money, stretching their dollar. Every dollar counts in the nonprofit sector, and we're really the first of our kind in the region, as well as the state, supporting nonprofits only. So my mission is really to help regional. So it's this for local, by local approach. Mm-hmm. You know, we take work as far as Syracuse and Buffalo, but we're really true to that, where we're very regionally focused. And the reason is we're relationship based. So in this sector, we do a lot of asking for things for free. And that means we need to know people, and we need to pull connections and grow committees and boards, board of directors. So a lot of what we do is, and why we're exclusive to the region, is really to make a difference locally. That's really what my passion is. And I also believe in this for local, by local approach, which really breaks down to the fact that if we care about our community, we all can support each other in a greater way and make more change. So that's us in a nutshell. We've been around almost 9 years. It's hard to say.
Congrats. 9 years, almost to 10, for local, by local. And I'll jump around a little bit, because I try to consider what's on my mind and what's on the listener's mind. And you mentioned how a lot of nonprofits don't have much budget. You need to try to get some things for free. I'm wondering, how do I get stuff for free?
So I think a lot of this is leveraging who's passionate about your cause. So where we usually start in our working relationship, these are long-term relationships. These are long-term clients. You know, I get to know and dig deep, and my team becomes very close with our clients and the nonprofits we work with. Now, you know, that doesn't mean we work with everybody everywhere. Like I said, we're very careful to make sure that you're hiring external people only when you need the support that you need, and not just thinking marketing's going to solve all your problems or storytelling is going to solve all your problems. So to get back to the root of your question, you know, it's really about who do you know, who's already committed to your cause, and then how do you reach people that this isn't selling? You know, this isn't you going out and saying domestic violence matters, raising awareness around domestic violence during everyone stuck at home and quarantining, and the statistics that are coming out, the data behind domestic abuse. You know, that's just education, you know, us getting the word out and spreading awareness around what's happening. Just an example of a relevant cause that's important right now. And then what we're trying to do is say, who's on your board of directors? How does it start with from within? What committees can we create? Can we make an advisory council? Can we get young people involved? We really look at strategy around who do you know and how do we build those connections Sometimes it's corporations, you know, it's reaching out to socially conscious business owners, such as myself, I'm a for-profit, you know, that care about causes and aligning them with causes that matter to them. So that way, you're not asking for anything in that scenario. You're literally showing up at their doorstep and saying, this is what you've been looking for. This is how you can make a charitable contribution that matters.
Mutually.
A long-winded answer to sort of tell you there's a lot of ways we do the work we do, but I think it's really about connecting people and not selling something. It's really about just telling that story authentically so that the right people show up and you create that cultivation and stewardship strategy in fundraising.
I love that answer. I love getting into the minutia of things because, I mean, at the end of the day, you're helping people connect with other organizations that it's a mutually beneficial relationship. It's great for the community. And from what you just said, it can get kind of complicated. So it's nice to have someone like you to hold your hand every step of the way to get that done. I want to get into success stories in a little bit, but I kind of want to build the baseline of like who you are and how you built this company. And I remember you telling like a Starbucks story. So maybe like give us some background of where you were before you started the Cause Collaborative and move into that story you told me when we first met.
Yeah, that sounds great. So for me, it begins in college, and I won't go back and draw this out too long, but I was a first generation scholar, which basically means my parents did not go to college. And I was the first in my family to be awarded a scholarship at St. John Fisher to be able to go to college. And what that required, I hate to call it that, yes, was this community service. And community service became part of my day to day of being in school and getting the education I needed. I didn't know at the time that there was going to be a cause marketing, you know, firm that I was going to start. You don't know your future. I wish we all could predict our future, but we can't. Right. So at the time, my skills were applied in public relations classes and marketing and business 101 and accounting and finance. Now, the story is, right, I tried to work in corporate America. I tried to work in the nonprofit sector, working for one nonprofit. I tried, to be blunt, higher education. There were elements of the work that I was doing that I loved, like working with young people, teaching, being an adjunct at a school at RIT. I loved elements of my career, but I was always missing this, like, I got to help more people. I've got to make more of a difference. Why can I not find the career where I can help many nonprofits at once? Why does this not exist? And when that started to happen, yes, the Starbucks story, to get to the point, I literally was introduced by a mutual connection, Mike McDougall, who runs McDougall Communications. I don't consider anybody a competitor in this field, a true collaborator. We worked with him on several projects. So he recommended to a client of his that I could potentially support that client. What happened from there was meant to be. It became my first client. I started to do that work on the side. That work on the side became too much. And that's a beautiful blessing in my life. Great problem to have, but it's that entrepreneur dream where you're like, I love this. And it keeps coming to my doorstep. I have to say yes to this work. You can hear it in my voice. Like, I have a lot of passion around the work that I do. I truly love what I do every day. And I'm so blessed for that. But that was what happened, was that Starbucks encounter turned into my first, I need to say yes to this. Let me go ask my boss in higher ed if I can do this work on the side, put that in quotes. Right. And I did. I did it at nights. I did it weekends. I'm a workhorse. I'm someone who likes to work hard. I thrive when I can create change and when I can really feel like I'm making a difference. And so at the end of the day, I was managing teams and all of a sudden it got too big. And I had to leap out of the world of higher education, corporate and ad agency life that I had built my career in. And at the age of 26, I went out on my own and I started my business, but I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
So a lot of this took mentorship and asking questions and not being afraid to say, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, who in the community can help me? I'm a entrepreneur by accident.
I love that
Starbucks story. I'm telling you, those Starbucks meetings or I really actually support local coffee shops more than anything.
Right.
But really those coffee shop meetings can make a big difference when it comes to making the connections you need to really do what you love.
I love that you say you're an entrepreneur by accident. I don't want to ramble about myself, but that's how I feel. I just started my firm And it really just came out of COVID and being furloughed temporarily and working from home and realizing that this laptop in front of me was all I needed. And I just gave it a shot and it's going incredible. So I definitely, I resonate with that. And you had mentioned how you leaped forward. And I love that because I'm thinking, you know, you're teaching on the side, you're kind of getting your, or you're teaching full time, you're doing this on the side, you're kind of testing the waters to see if it's the right temperature. But then once you saw that it was, you just dive right in, right? I just love that analogy. And yeah, so you mentioned mentorship as well. You see, you mentioned so many great things that I love. You mentioned mentorship. Can we pin down maybe a mentor or mentors in your life that really played that positive role?
Absolutely. I mean, there are endless amounts of mentors in my life, to be quite honest. I'm very blessed. Each internship that I had, I consider my internship supervisors my first mentors. Professors I kept in touch with after college because I built a connection in the classroom to them. If we just to name a few, and I'm not going to do it any justice, but Tom Peretti is my number one mentor from both me wanting to teach and find my way in creating curriculum. That's a whole nother beast, you know, of learning. And you have to be ready to say, I have no idea what I'm doing, and ask and do networking and coffee meetings with professors to make your curriculum modern and match what, you know, the students need today in their learning from an adjunct professor, by the way. Like, you were right. It is an adjunct, not full time. Right. So I didn't really have the experience, right? And Tom Peretti became a part of my life and my story of being my teacher, but then helping me teach.
Right.
And that's a beautiful story. And then now a dear friend, I brought my 2.5, you know, year old daughter over to his house with his wife and we hang out. So safety first with COVID, but we certainly, you know, have kept in touch and he's a big part of my life, a dear friend. Another, you know, example is my internship supervisor. I worked at United Way. What a blessing for an internship. You work with multiple nonprofits. You're working at a community organization, working with nonprofits. That is a nonprofit themselves. Right? Mm. I got that experience I needed. And my mentor there was Andrea Holland. Just saw Andrea on a Zoom meeting today. So we've kept in touch. You know, she's a dear friend. Our daughters now are the same age. We hang out. It's keeping in touch with people that made a difference in your life at a time where you had no idea what you were doing. Mm. And I still don't know what I'm doing and look to these people. So life is so interesting. It starts to make sense. I always joke with my husband, it took till I was, you know, in my 30s for me to go, boy, the 20s was hard. Being in your 20s is hard. And you have to have those mentors, in my opinion, and the support system to really start, you know, a career on your own and having your own business. It's a beast. And I'm not the first to say that. I know any entrepreneur I've met along the way resonates with the struggle of just not being, you can't know everything. You have to be willing to awkwardly sometimes say, I have no idea what I'm doing. Can you help me with this? And those mentors have been, I wouldn't be where I am today without them. I'm so honestly humbled that they've allowed me to stay in their lives. You know, that's just two examples of, again, it starts with, you know, college. It starts with when I moved to Rochester. I'm from Syracuse originally. So
I love it.
My story of mentorship. I think it's very important.
So important. I mean, that's why I have this podcast. And, you know, the other day, a friend of mine was tremendously complimentary about my marketing, my intelligence, all this stuff. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm the beginner here. This is why I started a podcast. I need to ask questions and learn from people so I can learn what they did right and learn what not to do. And I'm wondering, in your, you know, almost 10 years at the Cause Collaborative, any major mistakes that you kind of wish you had a mentor, or anything that you would have reversed, or just in general, maybe you wouldn't have reversed it, but any big learning lessons you have?
Biggest learning lessons for me were really doing the research required, even just reading more books, slowing down.
Hearing the word research already makes me cringe a little bit, but that's just me.
Okay, let's make it more fun. reading, maybe that's fun for you. I don't know. Reading, yeah. Looking at blogs, learning, I guess just identifying that I was an entrepreneur, that I fell into that bucket. I have to tell you, that is the biggest strangest thing is that for so long, I didn't see myself and paint that picture that I was an entrepreneur. Therefore, I didn't read books on entrepreneurship. I didn't read books on business 101. Had it clicked that I was successful, that I had that confidence in my 20s, that I could call myself one of them, I think I would have read a lot more and dove more into the trenches. And unfortunately, I lost quite a few years on knowing what to look for. And really, when I say research, it's not to scare people. It's not like we need to spend all our time working.
Yeah.
No. But one of my biggest regrets is not having balance. Mm. You know, I have a sticker on my laptop that says it's okay to rest. Like, my biggest regret also, I didn't take the space I needed for so long. I would hold myself to these standards of working all the time because you're building your own business and you can't stop. You love it. You thrive in the space. And it's really hard when you love what you do. So that's two regrets in one answer. I hope that's okay. But research would have been like looking up the Small Business Development Council. What? That exists? That's in the city of Rochester? I didn't even know. They give you resources for free? I could have gotten a business plan template? What? So this is the stuff where I get frustrated. Like, had I Googled that? Like, I know it's a joke, but like, should I have Googled that? And there's been so much of that. Did I have an accountant too late? Did I have a lawyer too late? You know, I wish I had these infrastructures and someone taught me the playbook because I had a lawyer too late, an accountant too late. I didn't start QuickBooks soon enough. Like, there's just so many things. You're like, oh, if only I had the process figured out, you know? So maybe one day I can, you know, teach entrepreneurship or something because I have so much passion around, you got to make sure these entrepreneurs are set up for success because otherwise we're holding ourselves back as a community. These small businesses, not even just nonprofits, small businesses, minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, the marginalized communities right now need the leg up. We need some equity, you know? And so even being a certified, like New York State certified woman-owned business, I didn't know about that the first couple of years. Mm-hmm. Had I known about that, I would have applied sooner, gotten my certification and had more work fed to me, right? Thrown my way. It's just the learning. You're just like, but, you know, we'll get there.
No, I love it.
Community, we'll get there. We got to market all the help that people need when they need it, right?
Yeah, I'm with you. And wow, I mean, I'm sure listeners agree. I totally believe that if you want to put together a course, a consultation, anything like that about entrepreneurship for, you know, small businesses and entrepreneurs, sign me up because you're describing me, the guy who doesn't know how to use QuickBooks properly, doesn't know how to use a CRM properly, is great at marketing, good at sales, really cares about his clients, and is kick-ass at everything he does, but right, everything I don't do, like the administration, the accounting, it's like I can't stop working. And today's a great example. I've never been more caught up in like months. So the first thing I do once I'm caught up is find a way to get behind again by like starting a new project. Yeah. But that new project needs to be the QuickBooks and the CRM and some of the essentials, you know?
Yeah, you got to slow down sometimes and take yourself out of the client work and start building stuff for your business. That's really hard to do.
Yeah.
I struggle with that weekly, if not daily. Like, when am I going to tell my own story, right? When are we going to change our own websites as small business owners? We don't have time for that when you're so focused in caring to your point of your clients. And that's, I resonate with that completely, Ben. Like, I just want my clients to succeed. And so you forget about your own learning and slowing down and resting. I wasn't kidding about my sticker. I have to remind myself. It's not good. Yeah.
I forget where it's from, but it's you got to slow down to speed up.
Yes, sometimes. I love that. That's a great analogy.
And so I spend a ton of time marketing my business, but it's the administrative stuff that I spend no time on. And what I'm realizing is if I get the admin done, I can better service my clients by being more efficient, by being more professional, by not having to send an invoice every month, having it on auto draft and little things like that. So yeah, this is like a 10-part series, separate podcast. So we'll digress a little bit because we're talking about clients, you don't have to rate them from, you know, 1 to 10 or tell me your favorites, but do you have any success stories, any like maybe disaster scenarios that you turned around, or even better, a good scenario that you made great, you know, just any success stories that come to mind?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, we've worked with, this to sort of give you some numbers and some perspective, we've worked with over 100 regional nonprofits.
Whew.
So I think that track record of sort of working with a lot, it's not about quantity for me, but the fact that they come back reminds me that the work we're doing matters and that they value our relationship and our partnership. And what's been really beautiful, although I cannot rate my clients 1 to 100, you know, I cannot do that live on air. And I also will not tell you all the horror stories because there are some.
Right.
In any business, there are bad relationships. It's going to happen. Specifically with people that are overworked, overtaxed, wearing too many hats without the infrastructure and headcount they deserve and need. So in my field, it's going to happen where people get frustrated and it's not a pretty picture every day. Of course not. It's not. If we're doing good work, we have to improve and learn from each other and make that relationship valuable. So I won't get into the weeds too much, but I will say the clients that, I'll give you a tangible example, where we feel we've really moved the needle, it's not because they haven't done things themselves correctly. This isn't about right and wrong. This is literally bringing expertise in areas you do not have the bandwidth to have an expertise. You can't, we were just talking about this, we can't be good at everything.
Right.
So my clients that I can sort of speak to that is like Compere Rochester. Compere Rochester is an organization all about friendship and wellness, mental wellness. And when you look at their story, they've been around for, you know, decades, and they've been around telling their story about volunteerism. Okay. They're saying youth, adults, people with ADHD, mental illness, depression, anxiety, people that are struggling need friendship. And the data behind that was 4 hours a month can change lives.
Wow.
If you dedicate 4 hours a month, take people on your everyday activities, like the grocery store, you know, we can help a young person, we can help an adult, and we can provide this program, this one-to-one program. They've been doing that work for years. But when we came in and we partnered, and we've partnered every year since we started, so they've been one of my longest term clients, we helped to tell the story of friendship, not volunteerism. So the spin, the success was the storytelling around the work that they did and the why, not just what they did. Right. So that's a really good case study for us to sort of tell you, we don't come in and say, we'll do your social media, your website, and we'll turn out and crank out, you know, these algorithms for Google. There's firms that are amazing at that. And maybe you're a potential partner for the Cause Collaborative in some of those efforts. We don't go out there and say, like, you know, the Cause Collaborative is experts in all the things. What we will do is we'll get to know you, dig deep enough to find those strategic vantage points, and then build that ultimate strategy to raise your metrics. So now 30%, 40%, 50% every year, their volunteerism numbers are going way up because we've been creating video strategy. We've been creating social media around friendship, not volunteering.
Mm.
That gets me out of bed, you know, that we're like, that was a big epiphany. And it's not that they weren't telling the story of volunteering is friendship, but it was that hierarchy of the way that story was told. And so I'm honestly, that's just one example, but we don't pretend we're marketers. We don't go out there and say that. We are really experts at helping you to tell your story. Some of the tangibles we do for you, like your website, your social media, and your videos, and all, you know, sometimes it's galas and events as well. The work that we do is really behind that overarching umbrella of our bread and butter, which is storytelling. So that just sort of, hopefully that frames for you, you know, the how we do the work we do and where we kind of catch those, wow, we really need to rethink how we're doing this and how we're communicating it out to the world.
Yeah, it's a lot for me to take in, because I'm thinking just in the fact that it goes back to what I said before, you got to slow down to speed up. So many nonprofits have such a perfect message and exactly like what the community is, that what they offer is super beneficial, but figuring out how to tell that story, finding your mission statement, developing your brand, this isn't for volunteers. This is for friends, like creating messaging that's going to resonate. That's like a super nuanced special skill that I don't think you can always just read a book and understand. You really need to get to know the organization and the individual, right? So,
and you also got a secret shop. You got to put yourself and your staff and your team members through their programs and see where their kinks are. And that's the stuff we do. You know, we're psychology-based marketing. We are not coming in and saying, this is, you know, this is a copy and paste strategy from client to client. No, it's nuanced. I appreciate you saying that. Like, it's certainly complicated in some situations. We don't have all the answers, of course not. But if we don't know the answer, we check our gut and we say that, and we check with our client and we pull in the expert that does. So really, my model is not Becca and the Cause Collaborative and the company I run can solve anything. No, the sell is really, we're resource development. We might not do the work. We might recommend you to someone else that will do the work. But we're paid to support you, help you reach more people, and ultimately change more lives, truly. You know, increase your program numbers, increase your fundraising. Like, these are the metrics we work with our clients on. It is both of us. It's not just us that makes that success happen. It has to be from within. And to be honest, if you look at kind of the stuff to make this kind of relevant to right now, if you look at systemic racism, coronavirus, the stuff that's happening in our world, it's affecting the nonprofit sector more than anywhere. And what we need to do is really remind ourselves of that and pay attention to how we can support as individuals, as corporate, you know, CEOs. What can we do to really support them right now? And I think with systemic racism, sometimes that work starts from within, you know, taking a look at your board of directors and saying, is this all white males? is it time to really start to make some changes from within? Because we can offer DEI training, but what about the organization and the structure that we have, you know, within our organization? So I think it's really walking the walk and not talking the talk. When you work with the Cause Collaborative, we really look at everything and ensure that you're not just going out there and I call it spinning, like public relations. You're not spinning a story when you work with the Cause Collaborative. We're looking at your authentic story and we're helping you to, you know, get that earned media and that earned attention you deserve for the work that you're doing for the community.
Wow, you're not spinning the story. We're looking at the clue.
We're not spinning the story, and I'm not saying everyone does that. I hope not. Right. I hope not. But we're never comfortable spinning a story. We're really telling the authentic story to the organization.
I wanted to repeat that because I feel like that's the tweetable. That's like amazing. And I'm wondering. So obviously, step one, it can happen the moment I'm done with this conversation. You can pause this podcast and ultimately start now. Step one is to make changes in your own life. Take a look at yourself. How am I? Where's my bias? Where can I change? But on a bigger picture, kind of a three-part question, and it's all about help. Like, how do we help the Cause Collaborative? How do we help nonprofits? And I want to start it off kind of fun. Can I become a secret shopper? Is that a role that I could do? Like,
absolutely. Because they can't be me, because then people know, they hear my voice, right? If I'm usually the staffs we work with are so tiny, they know my voice, right? I become a voice in their head a little too often. I'm sure I'm not a great thing. So to be honest, you can volunteer with the Cause Collaborative. You can be paid by the Cause Collaborative as a consultant. More often than not, we are not doing volunteering. That's another differentiator with my organization. Because we're a for-profit, we pay our consultants. We're not looking for people to donate their time. We don't want that level of work. We want the quality, the expertise. So we want to pay those experts. Now, we certainly, on behalf of our clients, ask for things for free. So another way you can support nonprofits is if you're a CEO or a business owner in the community, you can choose a cause that matters to you. Donate 10% of your proceeds for the month. Use it for your Instagram. Tag them on social. Leverage a partnership strategy with a cause that's near and dear to you. It can be if you're a restaurant. It can be You know, if you're a small business like Shop Peppermint over at Culver Road, they do this all the time, just to shout them out. You know, these business owners, you don't have to just write a check and have it be behind the scenes as a charitable donation for your tax write-off. That's great, by the way. I'll take it. Like any nonprofit will take it. But we're looking for those businesses that use and leverage doing good for the world to advance their profit margin, right? And the statistics, when you kind of, I don't have the data in front of me, but I get excited to talk about this kind of thing because the numbers show you with more good in your corporation, more profit. With more profit and more good, better talent. Younger, more experienced people stay in their careers at your organization because you are doing good and they care that you're doing good for the world. I think we all can resonate with that.
Yeah.
The generational thing where we're really looking for corporate volunteerism. We want to work at a place where we can volunteer and that the company gives me maybe a half day off a quarter to go and work at a nonprofit for the day or volunteer my time. So I get excited about corporations because I feel like they could do so much more.
Yeah.
And then when you look at like us as individuals, to your point, I'm always looking for people that want to do good in Rochester. And even the region, you know, we need help helping nonprofits. It's not something we can do alone. We are a small team. And although we've had wonderful growth and I'm very honored and blessed that, we've been able to pivot as well. I know that's a fancy word a lot of people use during COVID, but we've been able to eliminate some infrastructure, get rid of our office space, work all virtually so that we can align and take small budgets, really small budgets, and help the small guys. Because that's really what gets me up every day, you know, keeping the small guy around. And I think that's what we can do is even restructuring our business to better accommodate the clients that need us and not be the ad agency model where you have minimums. You know, that's me in a nutshell.
I love you. So I have a three-part question. You basically answered all three parts, but just to give the short and sweet, number one, sign me up to be a secret shopper for these businesses because I think that would be a ton of fun. Obviously, I'm going to do it for free. The second part is it sounds like you are hiring consultants if they're interested in getting involved.
Yes, that's correct.
Awesome.
We are always hiring consultants, anything from writing expertise, maybe someone who has annual appeal experience with nonprofits. So it's writers, it's social media managers, it's designers, like graphic designers, videographers, photographers, artists, like muralists, people painting walls. We do weird projects over here. It's really fun work. You know, it's not your typical just behind a computer stuff. We're out there. We're looking for consultants that will help us with all the work we do. Sometimes it goes as far as market research, but not often. People don't have the budgets for market research, unfortunately.
Sure.
But there is, when there's the right, you know, project, we will full scale it and do market research as well. So it's really any skill set that someone has the experience with nonprofits specifically, we'd be open, you know, to even working with SEO, SEM. These are some of the projects and clients need that sort of support. And so that's what we're here to do is rally the troops and get the team together to make that perfect team, you know, for what they're looking for.
Well, Rebecca, offline, I'll introduce you to like 1,000 people because worst case scenario, it would be great for you guys to network so they can hear what you're doing here and hopefully they can help. The third part of the question was in terms of, let's say I just want to support the community. I want to support nonprofits. Do any come to mind of nonprofits or businesses that you support and you would recommend I support?
I think I'm selfish to the causes I know the most about.
Sure.
So my concern becomes what I give you an answer on is going to be specific to me and specific to the work that I do every day. So I
valid disclaimer.
Here's my sort of scoop though.
Yeah.
If I was sitting on the other side of this and being a listener and trying to figure out how do I support a nonprofit right now, there's volunteering, which is your time, right? You volunteering your time, that people call that the time commitment. There's every nonprofit needs support when it comes to humans, hands on deck, all hands on deck. And I really recommend thinking about your internal personal passion areas. That could be anything from Dream Bikes down on University Avenue. They're not a current client, but I loved working with them.
Yeah.
And they have urban youth, you know, they're supporting, and you can sponsor a youth. You can come and volunteer and teach the youth. Maybe you're a bike enthusiast. You know how to, you're a mechanic on bikes, making this up. You know, you can donate your time and make a difference in these kids' lives to like teen empowerment. Teen empowerment is thriving. However, losing money, losing funding because of coronavirus, needs corporate sponsorships. So if you're an individual, you can donate your time, but then you can donate your treasure, right? And often these organizations do need funding. So if you have the ability or connection to a cause that matters to you, I would really, it's just me sort of focusing on youth, but there's causes that are near and dear to people. And that's what should get you up every day to want to give back. For me, it's more maternal morbidity, as sad as that sounds. There's a huge amount of passion from me and my story. I had a near miss experience delivering my daughter. And I really think telling that story and me getting comfortable to really select that cause, because that's near and dear to me, and then giving money to, you know, the National Foundation for Preeclampsia, giving money to outside the region, you know, nonprofits. It has to be, if I'm giving money outside of local, it's got to be an organization I've vetted, an organization that I have a personal connection to, given my story. So that's just an example of, I think it really comes down to the individual. You know, what do you care about? What do you connect the most with? Is it cancer? Is it someone in your life that's had cancer? Do you need to give back in that area, in that arena? Do you do something in honorarium, in memorandum of someone that you've lost, right? Childhood cancer is a huge issue. And there's not a lot of organizations doing great work in childhood cancer. There's some that might come to mind. My favorite, Cure. Cure Childhood Cancer is local. They're incredible, small, you know, need the financial support. Gosh, I'll rattle off all 100 of my clients. So I'll stop there. But long story short, I think it's about connecting to something that matters to you. That's the number one place I would start as far as considering where to give.
Yeah, connect to something that matters to you. Great advice. Honestly, we're going to have to do this quarterly. We're going to have to do like a 10-parter because we could dive so deep. For sake of time, I want to go to the rapid fire round.
Okay.
Short, sweet, either or, fill in the blank questions. It's funny. It's on my mind right now because someone said it the other day. They're like, oh, I feel like I'm on Family Feud. It's basically short, sweet answers just to get to know Becca
all right,
a little bit better.
Short and sweet is not my expertise, but I'll do my best. You go.
Are you a morning person?
No.
No? What
just,
about?
Just no.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee. Don't like tea. It's too basic.
Beer or wine?
Wine. Can't get into beer. Boring.
Cats are boring. Basic boring. Cats or dogs?
Both. I can't pick. I never thought I liked cats until I found one under my porch and kept it.
I had my fingers crossed that you wouldn't call either of them basic because I'm like, they're both incredible, right?
Right.
iOS or Android?
iOS all the way.
Favorite dessert?
I cannot pick dessert. I eat so many sweets. It's terrible. I think Skittles, because that's not a dessert, and I just think that's a funny answer. I love candy. It's a huge... I'm a child. I'm lucky I've only had one cavity.
What else? You know, that's enough of that. I have one more thing that I'm curious about, and I sometimes ask budget questions. I try to avoid it, but it's something you deal with all the time. Let's say I'm a business, a nonprofit, or just, you know, a solopreneur, a small business, and I'm dealing with a small budget. What have you found, you know, a purchase of $100 or less, whether it's a subscription service or a tool for your business? What cheap purchases have you found just go the extra mile to make your business operate better?
Oh, Ben, that's a great question. I think the cheap purchase would be Asana, my project management system.
Okay. I swear I thought you meant Asana, like Asana. Sorry.
No, it's not cheap. It's not cheap. Asana, I call a human. Like I pretend it's a human. Okay. I'll be like, Asana's got that. I literally think Asana is a person. Like this project management tool, and I don't sell Asana for a living. You can pick whichever tool you want. but a project management subscription monthly, I don't know what I would do without it. It keeps me organized. I am an organized type A person. You might have figured that out already, but I certainly couldn't live without Asana. The project management tool has been huge for me. Another one that comes to mind would be the app to track your mileage. Now, this seems so ridiculous, but I used to not get the tax write-off and like of tracking in QuickBooks your mileage. And I used to, before coronavirus, go to meetings all day, every day, back to backs. Now I'm so grateful I don't do that, by the way. Zoom is my life.
Yeah.
So Zoom and MileIQ is the app I use, and it's always running in the background. And now as a business owner, it tracks it for me. It gets sent right to my accountant, and my accountant gets to put it in the taxes, and I get that benefit of mileage, which sounds so minuscule, but this is the stuff. You're not going to keep a notepad in your car and write down where you go and what the Google Maps, remember?
No.
MapQuest, if you're old, as old as me. No, you're not going to write that down, the mileage, to get that, you know, write off. So not to be weird, it's this little like administrative life when you become a solopreneur. And I think these subscriptions are huge.
Yeah, that no, great tips. Honestly, everybody, I'm going to do it ultimately after this. Click rewind, write those down, check it out. Small administrative tips to really just make your business run better. And it seems like it's pretty easy to use. Shoot, how do we keep in touch with you? How do I stay in touch with the Cause Collaborative, follow you on socials? What's the best way to reach out to you?
Yeah, I recommend that you, if you're listening, and Ben, you in particular, like reach out to me directly, becca@thecausecollab.org. You know, we're personal over here. We don't do the like, you don't have to fill out an online form and hear back from a team member. It's me. So I'll be the one responding. We have a website, thecausecollab.org. We're really active on social media, given the work we do. So I encourage you to sign up for our newsletter. We send out a monthly newsletter as well of all the happenings with nonprofits. And then last but not least, we're kicking off, you're sort of the first person to hear this, but we're doing a summit, Collaborate Summit, and that's going to be taking place in October. And because of that, I'm looking for speakers that care about nonprofits. And because of that, I want to make sure nonprofits know that they're going to be able to come to an event that is virtual, that is there to support them at a time that they need it most. And so I'm really excited, sort of self-promo there, on this collaborative, you know, summit we're going to be hosting. It's the first of its kind. So I would hope people want to get in touch either there as a speaker for that event to get in front of the audience because you are an expert and you have something you can teach at a time where these people need it. Or maybe you want to be an attendee or a partner in the summit. So details are available on our website. It's causecollab.org, thecausecollab.org/summit. And so I highly recommend people reach out to me because I'm looking for help. Can't do it alone.
Oh, I love it. Send me over a form, whatever I got to do, sign me up. I'd love to attend. I'd love to get involved. And ultimately, you're amazing. I'm happy you came on the show. I hear someone crying in the background, yeah, so I should probably...
My daughter, Cora. She's good. Downstairs. Don't worry. She's not alone. She's got my husband.
Okay. I was going to say it's a good time to let you go because of that, but I wanted to ask just because we could do quarterly, we could do a 10-parter, is there anything that you want to bring to the table that we maybe didn't touch on?
I think the for-profit side, you know, socially conscious businesses doing more, this employee volunteerism, their profit increasing, you know, it's certainly not my expertise. Like my expertise is nonprofits. But I think a conversation with somebody, even if it's not me, and for your podcast, like specifically socially conscious businesses, you know, what are they doing? Why does it matter? And that's just a whole other ball. That's a whole rabbit hole that we could talk about. But that's really all I've got at this time, sort of that I thought we're not going to go there today because there's in the interest of time. But it's very valuable to someone who's a business owner, that information.
You're incredible. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, Ben, so much for having me. And I'm really happy you do this. Thank you for offering this. This is wonderful.
Love it. So real quick, before I let you go, I'm obviously not keeping this part. Any comments or questions? I think it went super well.
I think it went great. And I really appreciate it. You got me comfortable quickly. So that was good.
I love that. So follow up, ultimately, I am overbooked, which is a good problem to have, but this This won't come out till July, which works out well because the summit's in October. You'll get a list with all the social media links all in one spot, so you know exactly how to share it. And my only ask is, obviously, to share it. I guess I have two asks. Share the show. You are in it. And two, if you know anyone who's totally kick-ass and I'm overbooked, that doesn't matter to me. If you have people that you think would be a great guest on the show, literally a one-sentence email goes a long way. I'll follow up with them, and I'd love to make it happen.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you so much. It was great to meet you.
Yeah, it was fun. I'll let you go because I stole too much of your time. It's okay. Apologize.
Like, I warned you she'd yell. I knew she would around this time. Too funny.
But it's been a pleasure. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks so much, Ben. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.